This is not Terry Gross, and this is not Fresh Air. Back in 1977, the Shrink Tank Gang talked about Thanksgiving. Here's an encore presentation of a fun episode of the Shrink Tank podcast. If psychology and pop culture had a baby, they'd call it the Shrink Tank podcast. Our illustrious panel of shrinks analyze and psychoanalyze what's happening in entertainment and pop culture. I'm Dave Verhagen, a psychologist, an author, and a bad magician. And our regular panel's here. Rachel Kitson's a psychologist, and she's our media darling. And she's written some of the most popular articles ever on ShrinkTank.com. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Dave.
How are you doing these days?
I'm doing well.
Any news?
No, none to speak of.
Okay, very good. And Frank Gaskell is a psychologist. He's the author of the popular Max Gamer graphic novel. And he's, of course, our resident insane person. Frank's usually worked up about something, although last week you were pretty calm. So how about today?
I'm pretty pissed.
Oh, good.
Number one, I would like to meet a Trump supporter. Okay.
Right.
But I'm kind of like, it sort of dawned on me. He's sitting there saying, we're going to export all the Latino people. That's like 30 million people, right? Or 100. How many? 30 million. Like, how are we going to do that? And we're going to put them on buses? Do you know how many buses it would take to get these people back to their houses and stuff? Or train? I mean, that's just dumb. And what pisses me off is not that he's suggesting it. It's that America's like, yeah, sounds good to me. Let's get rid. Like, what? You're going to drive him in your car? How are we going to do that? That's impossible.
So if we had more buses, you'd be
more
okay
buses,
with that?
Yeah.
No.
I'm pissed because of how he said we're going to do it.
The logistics just don't work.
I'm tired. Oh, my God.
Greyhound's too good for them.
American voters are idiots.
Frank's concerned about the logistics of it. Not the morality of it.
It doesn't make any sense that nobody's thinking, oh, yeah, hey, that sounds like a good idea. Let's build a wall. Let's deport everybody. How are you going to do that? Why doesn't somebody say, excuse me, sir, how are you going to do that? But if you ask that question, they're like, oh, you can't ask us those questions. That's cheap shot.
Well, no, Trump would just say, I'm just going to get it done. And everyone would be like, yes.
Right. And Frank is like, but how?
How are you going to get rid of all the Latinos?
I want somebody to answer
how
that question.
How tall a wall? What's the wall made of?
It doesn't make any sense.
What color's the wall?
Well, you know I'm right. I am right about all of this.
Frank's right about everything.
You know I'm right!
If I think it, it's probably true.
Yes.
Whoa, that's a lot of scary stuff's true.
Yeah, no kidding. That's
a lot of scary stuff's
true. Okay, yeah, I kind of take that back.
And, of course, Jonathan Hederle is also here. He's our counselor, critic, and sarcasm all-star. And each week he follows interesting stories of psychology that are in pop culture. And we call it being human.
So our first article is titled, Cheese is Addictive as Drugs. So research by the University of Michigan finds that love of pizza is largely because of cheese addiction, and they asked 500 students to complete a questionnaire and found that pizza was the most addictive food who completed this survey known as the Yale Food Addiction Scale.
I completely agree, because cheese is wonderful. And I know this because I eat cheese every day, usually right around time I get home, but then before bed, probably four times a week, I get out a big jar of Miracle Whip, and I get two pieces of processed cheese from my local grocery store. Not the
cheese.
Name brand, not Kraft. Kraft is disgusting, but I get the process, and it's like all shiny. You take the plastic off, and you almost see your reflection in the cheese. Then you take a big, big dollop of Miracle Whip, and you rub it all around the cheese. And then you take another piece of cheese and you put that on top.
Ugh.
So it's a little cheese sandwich. And I eat it one of two ways. I'll eat around the edge until I make it to the creamy middle. And that's like candy. But the other way is you can roll it up. And when you eat it, you feel the squishy Miracle Whip pop into your mouth. And I could go through a pack of cheese in a night eating it that way.
How are you not 500 pounds?
I don't know, but
disgusting.
It is so, cheese is so
that is not cheese.
Good.
I don't think that would even pass as cheese in
yes.
the study.
I think the Yale Cheese Center study of whatever it is that you said.
A perverted man
is
cheese
exactly,
love.
It's exactly spot on.
Frank just started a man cheese love organization.
Yeah, that was hideous.
I'm ready to go cold turkey against cheese now, my addiction.
Do you know what the average number of pounds per American for each year of cheeses? Like how much cheese we eat?
No idea. Each,
I think it's, yeah, it's per year. Anybody know?
100 pounds?
It's, I think we each eat, let me get my reference here. I think it's 35 pounds of cheese.
I eat way more than that.
He eats that a month.
You eat my,
at night.
I even feed my dog cheese.
Yeah, it's estimated that the average American eats 35 pounds of cheese per year.
Well, we know Frank is not an average American. Well,
I'd also like to add something that's a little known fact about cheese. But there is a fromage le chat. And it's out of, I believe, California.
Ugh.
And there's also one in Italy, but they have cats. And they milk the cats.
That's not true.
And Google it. They milk the cats.
It's on the internet.
Okay.
It's on Trump.com. Don't believe
it. All of the audience of Shrink Tank, I want you to send emails to Dave Verhagen telling me he's an idiot. There are cats, and they milk the cats. Meow. And they turn it.
Ow, ow,
they turn it into cheese. I'm serious. This is a legit delicacy. Well, I wouldn't call it a delicacy. I wouldn't eat it. But the problem with the cat cheese is if you eat the cat cheese, you get that weird virus in your brain that makes you go crazy.
Called the Gaskell neurovirus.
The Gaskell. Wow. Oh, and now here's Frank looking up the story.
Actually, I think he's like hiring assassins to come to my house.
Man.
Cat cheese.
Well, I think...
I'm going to give you a website.
I think, oh, no.
Imperial cat cheese...
Oh, boy.
Wow, this is exciting podcast.
Yeah. So back to the point at hand, which is that cheese is highly addicting, which I think is absolutely true, especially on pizza.
Yeah, I could eat pizza for the rest of my life. That'd be the only thing I could eat. I mean, that's something I'll eat high quality and frozen low quality. I love pizza.
Bay Area Bites. Fromage. Fromage de chat, a.k.a.
de chat
milk cheese. I'm not French.
Shout out some milk.
And there's an article from 2010, and on this website you can see cheese with the face of a cat on it. And it's called fromage de chat, or often just chat fromage. And it's the it food in culinary world.
Eat too much cat cheese and you will de chat.
It's simply cheese made from the milk of a feline. It's quite popular in Eastern Europe, which makes sense as the Siberian cat has particularly rich milk. But cat cheese has been a staple in many cultures since the pharaohs. Thank you.
Right.
Oh, you're welcome.
Moving along.
Whoa. Woo. All right, Frank, let's see what you got for this one. Our next article comes from a Dr. Suzanne Gelb, who kind of hypothesize why people happily spend money on snacks, smartphones, and even slot machines, but not coaching or therapy. And she identified five reasons she believes people don't invest in therapy. One is often people don't want to face their feelings. Another is people crave a quick fix. Some people feel that investing in happiness is frivolous. Some people feel ashamed to seek help. And then finally, she hypothesized that people don't believe it will actually work.
The one that was most compelling to me in that list was the one about just needing a quick fix, especially when she compares it to things like snacks and slot machines and things like that, where people are just looking for just some quick relief or some quick enjoyment or entertainment. And when you talk about therapy, that's kind of a big investment over the long term. And I think a lot of people don't think that way when it comes to improving their mental health.
I'm going to play the role of Frank Gaskell on this one. And that is, I don't buy this.
I don't either.
First, it's not a study. Yep. It's this woman's opinion. But then she's making this assumption that people spend this money on this other stuff and not therapy. That's not been our experience at all.
Mm-mm.
And I'd
like to know her stats.
And I didn't see any.
Well, it's not a study.
Right. But I think it's one of these things that, like, seems right, but I don't think it is right.
I think
more than ever people are open to therapy and open to, I mean, this is a generation of kids where, at least around here, and I don't mean this to trivialize it, but going to a therapist can be I don't want to say a status symbol, but it's something that
is luxury,
esteemed.
Yeah.
It's something that's valued.
Yeah, I have some kids that lay down on my couch take their shoes off, phone will ring. Well,
here we go.
The kid will say, hey, my phone's ringing. Mind if I pick it up? And they pick it up, and he says, dude, I'll call you back. I'm with my psychologist.
I would bet that if we did research this, we would. I would disagree. I would think that there probably people do spend more money on these other things than they do on their on therapy.
Yeah, it'd be worth seeing the if it was true or not.
Fight.
Fight. We're going
to
fight.
Duke it out.
Fight.
We'll conduct our own studies.
We're going to fight it out. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our trending topic, which today is about Thanksgiving. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast, and we'll be right back. Available now from Hero House Books. Mixed Shrinks. Ridiculous real-life stories from shrinks. Have you ever wanted to read funny stories from a bunch of shrinks? Well, neither have we, but somehow it made it into a book. And it's a great book, too. Shrinks share some of their funniest true life stories, and we've got some doozies. It's Mixed Shrinks, available now at HeroHousePublishing.com or Amazon. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. I'm Dave Verhagen, along with Frank Gaskell, Rachel Kitson, and Jonathan Hederle, and it's Thanksgiving time. And I think we talked about this during our Halloween podcast, that this, for some of us, is the favorite of all holidays. It's my favorite of the holidays.
My favorite of the holidays.
Anybody else?
It's definitely one of my favorites.
Definitely up there?
Meh.
Meh? You don't have any, like, fun, positive associations with Thanksgiving?
Well, he's not from America. That's why.
I'm thankful for America.
Every day.
Thanksgiving.
Me so thankful.
USA.
No.
USA.
No.
USA.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Pinches of power.
Oh.
Axis of evil.
That's right.
Well, Rachel, why for you is it one of your favorite holidays? What makes it that?
Well, for silly reasons to begin with, I really liked the day. Thursday was my favorite day of the week growing up because we had art class on Thursday. And this is the we had art class on Thursday, so I had positive associations with Thursdays. And Thanksgiving, as we know, is always on the last Thursday of November.
As we all know,
as you should all know, and respect a Thursday. And I like that there was no gift giving. There's no religion. It's just kind of people sitting around eating and hanging out and having fun. I kind of like less pressure.
I love the last time we had fun with Native Americans before we kicked them off of their land.
My wife makes the most amazing turkey on the face of the earth. And I like waking up. She gets up like 1 in the morning to put the turkey in. So I wake up smelling it.
Is that what they call it?
I walk around in my PJs. I watch the Thanksgiving Day parade. And then what's really cool, my favorite part.
I don't think I'm going to be able to look at Frank for the rest of the day after this episode.
My favorite part of the day is when the football games are on. I watch Dallas Cowboys, 4 o'clock. And right around halftime, I go into the kitchen. And I get 2 pieces of white bunny bread. And it's the softest, whitest bread on earth.
Are we going to repeat the same
story? And I get the Miracle
Whip.
No Miracle Whip story.
And I get out the Miracle Whip and I put a ton on both pieces of bread.
It's the same story.
And then I get turkey and I put the turkey on the bread and I make a sandwich and I heat up some stuffing and stuff. Then I go back to the couch and I eat it. But the way I eat the sandwich is I get the crust off first. And then I take a big bite in the middle.
You just talked about this.
And the bread. No, this is with bread. Because the bunny bread is soaked in the Miracle Whip. Sticks to the roof of my mouth like a second skin. And I'm able to taste it. Like, it takes forever to eat it.
Chemicals. It's all the chemicals.
So good.
Oh, man. Well, let me change gears a little bit.
Okay.
What makes this the best holiday for me is that my in-laws run a Christmas tree farm in the mountains. And then the week of Thanksgiving, all of our friends, I mean, we sometimes will have 50, 60 plus people that will come up for that weekend. And some people stay there, but a lot of people just come up for like a day trip. It's like a 2-hour drive from Charlotte to up in the mountains. And you get your Christmas tree, you get your wreath, you get hot apple cider, you get
your father-in-law chainsaw on his leg.
That's right. My father-in-law chainsawed his leg one time and then went back out and cut more trees down. But it's just such a great experience with family and friends, and then you're around the meal and it's just getting a little bit cold where everybody's like kind of bundled up, and just a good time.
Absolutely.
So one of the things we think about with Thanksgiving is the good stuff, like, you know, sitting around, eating food, watching football, the whole experience of gratitude and expressing thanks. And we know psychologically that, like, expressing gratitude and thanks is a really, really good part of being psychologically healthy. But there's also this dark side of Thanksgiving, like Black Friday mm-hmm. and all the family dysfunction stuff and all that. Let me ask you about Black Friday. Has that become a thing in recent years, or did I just know this?
No, it's always been there. It's just getting worse. Like, because they keep backing it up. I mean, I think
it's Black Thursday some night store, now.
And 6 p.m. weeks. Is opening up Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. People would line. It just seems really stupid. But I was very thankful for Nordstrom because they have refused to put up any Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And they said, we believe in decorating for one holiday at a time.
That's very good.
Good for them. They're mm-hmm. going to change the world.
And I love the revolt on Simon Malls that we're now getting the Christmas tree back and getting rid of the stupid iceberg that Santa Claus would sit in. There was such a revolt that Simon caved, and I'd hate to have been the person with the job of putting Santa in an iceberg.
Because of all the things in the world to get upset about, that's it. That's
right. It's very upset.
Yeah.
Because, if you saw it, you'd be like, what is happening?
Because there's income inequality and racism and ISIS and all this.
Hey, we're complaining about all that stuff too. Yeah, we can add another one.
Frank is limitless in his complaints, so we don't need to worry about that. Now, for me, one of the reasons Thanksgiving isn't that especially high on my list is for some families, like Frank talks about on Christmas or on Thanksgiving, one of his traditions is to watch the Cowboys. Growing up, the tradition for Thanksgiving was we got the newspaper and we went through all of the ads to find out where the sales were, what time that they opened. And my mom would literally draft out a strategy of where we would go. And I would find myself at 4:30 in the morning, Friday morning at Fred Meyer to get sales on socks. Underwear. Socks and underwear. And I would have, like, as a 10-year-old, this shopping cart surrounded by middle-aged moms. And she'd be like, just head to the sock section and just get the sale. I'd be like, well, what size sock? She's like, doesn't matter. Just knock them over in there. We'll figure it out later on. And I mean, it's very much something that was out of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas movie. But that's what we grew up in. And I remember after moving to the East Coast and getting married, my wife and I, we went back and celebrated Thanksgiving. And that Friday, by the time we woke up, they had gone, they had come back, and they were making us breakfast on the day after Thanksgiving.
And you got adopted from Korea for that.
That's right. Go USA, capitalism all the way.
Man. So what is the deal with Black Friday getting worse? Like, what is, I mean, I don't think I remember that at all.
I remember it.
But now it's like, it's huge stories
One-upmanship. And how do you draw customers, especially? I think it's worse now because these Black Friday events are in big box stores and people aren't going to stores anymore. So they've got to get you in there as much as possible to sort of justify their big box. Because, I mean, last year I did not go to a store to buy any presents. I didn't go in one store.
Everything online.
Everything was Amazon. Mm-hmm. All of it.
Yeah, well, that's the way to go. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why would you do that?
Why would you go out that whole weekend after? I mean, it's just crazy, insane.
But I will say, I mean, I know people who do it, but they do it because it's this ridiculous shared experience of having fun and
they
being
weird.
They do
it like a sport.
It's like a sport. It's a party. I get those people, but that's,
I mean, surely you can't save enough money, even if you're trying to be tight on finances, to make it worth that. If it's really to be cost cutting, surely you're not saving that much money, well, or are you?
I would doubt it. But even you've got Cyber Monday, and you get on Amazon, and if you have Amazon Prime, it's free shipping. You don't have to get in your car. You don't have to wait in the lines. You've wasted all that. You just shop from your couch.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing we were talking about is family dysfunction, and sometimes during these holiday times, that it's in full bloom. Frank and Jonathan, especially, you guys always have great stories of family.
Family.
Family. Do you have mostly good associations with with Thanksgiving in particular, or crazy associations with it?
Well, Christmas is really where most of my crazy holiday stories are.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Which we'll save those for a month.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving, other than just sort of the Black Friday, the other thing was growing up, we ate a lot of ham versus turkey. And for me, like, I'm not a big fan of either. So a lot of people get really excited about the meal. It's like, oh, this thing that if you cook it just right and eat it the first time, it's juicy and delicious, but then it just gets dry, you know? So for me, the whole buildup of like spending 7 or 8 hours on a meal, that to me, it's like, it's good, but it's not great. I don't get.
If you had the turkey in my house,
you've talked about your food.
You would throw rocks at your grandma.
You've talked about food.
His palate, though, is a little questionable now.
I'll tell you, it is truly the best turkey you have ever had in your life.
If they would stuff the turkey with McRibs, like, I think I'd be in heaven.
Well, I'm with you on that. Yeah. When do McRibs come back?
I don't know.
I've got a little funny story. So I actually had a Thanksgiving, one of the first ones, with my wife, my family, my mom and dad, and her family, her mom, dad, and two brothers. And my mom had brought some food, had made some stuff, and I one of them was this Jell-O mold, right? And my brother-in-law was sitting across from me, and I saw him eat it, and he blurted out a curse word and says, "Mama, this is the worst thing you have ever fixed." And my mom is sitting there looking down, and then my mother-in-law said, "Miss Gaskell made that." And then he, to watch him try and backtrack and change the words that came out of his mouth was hilarious. Hilarious.
Speaking of funny stories over family holidays and other times, Hero House Publishing has just come out with a book called Mixed Shrinks, Ridiculous Real Life Stories from Shrinks. And Jonathan, myself, and Frank are all in it. Rachel, why aren't you in this book, by the way?
All my stories are too depressing. There's no humor in them.
There was no funny story.
No fun.
Sadness.
Just sadness.
Yeah. So it's just a collection of short stories. And I will say, there are some doozies in here.
Oh, yeah.
There are some ringers.
I had a hard time reading a couple of them.
Yeah.
One, actually, Hederly's. I actually described your story to one of my clients, and he couldn't believe it.
Right.
He absolutely could not believe it. And he gets like, "What is wrong with why would you hire somebody that acts like that?" I'm like, "Well, that's probably part of the reason why we do." Yeah.
So it's good stuff. So we hope you'll pick that up. It's called Mixed Shrinks, and you can get it on HeroHousePublishing.com. It's also on Amazon.com. And wherever fine books are sold.
And where again can you get that, David?
HeroHousePublishing.com.
HeroHousePublishing.com.
That's what I just said there, Frank.
Called Mixed Shrink.
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be our doctor's orders. This is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Available now from Hero House Books, Cinemanalysis by Craig Pohlman and Josh Jensen. Cinemanalysis connects films to psychology through double features. These are movies paired because they share striking amounts of cinematic DNA, as if they were separated at birth. Each chapter describes a double feature, including why the movies can be appreciated more by viewing them together. Then psychological ideas are illustrated through the paired films. Pick up Cinemanalysis at HeroHousePublishing.com or Amazon.com. Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. This is Dave Verhagen along with Frank Gaskell, Rachel Kitson, and Jonathan Hederly. And we wrap this all up with what we call our doctor's orders. These are things that we're personally enjoying in pop culture. Frank, you got something for us?
I do. It is New York Times bestseller, Neurotribes, by Steve Silberman. And it is one of the best books I've read in a very long time. And right now, it's essentially the only book I recommend to people who are trying to understand the autism spectrum and the history. The level of research that he put into this book and the ease of which it is to read a book this big, I cannot recommend it higher. I mean, it is a truly amazing book, and actually up for Book of the Year.
Yeah, the reviews are spectacular. It's a great looking book, and it's a little formidable because it's a big book. But
once you get in, actually, it was very funny. Once you get into reading the book, you really can't put it down. But I believe I was on page 37, and I read the bottom, the last sentence, and there was another part. I turned the page, And it was something completely different. And I thought, wait a minute, what's happening? And I couldn't figure it out. I kept looking at the words and trying to make sense of it. And then I happened to look at the page, and about 40 pages of my book were missing. And so Steve and I are friends on Facebook, and I messaged him. I said, dude, I love your book, but I'm missing like 30 pages. And he's like, oh, no, I'll ship you a new one. But that was just hilarious. That was the day it came out, and I was worried it was on all of them. But he said, I'm basically the only story he's had of missing those pages.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, what do you got for us?
I have another book. It's called You Too Can Have a Body Like Mine, and I've just started it.
Girl.
It's called Alexandra. It's by Alexandra Kleeman.
By Dave Verhagen.
And it's actually, it's this book about, centers around three characters named A, B, and C. And A and B are roommates, and C is the boyfriend of A. And it's this kind of meta look at like advertisement and culture, and it's sort of got this this synthesis of Frank's already bored and murdering himself, suicide. And it's about these characters just sort of they've kind of bought into this consumeristic like dystopian world, and I don't know. It's very interesting so far. I would recommend it.
Jonathan.
So I've been just binging on television lately, and if you have Amazon Prime, this is their pilot season where they throw out a bunch of just pilots of shows in development, and based upon kind of viewer feedback and critical acclaim, they're going to sign off on some of these for seasons for next year. And so I've started to watch some of them. I haven't found anything as good as last year, but Good Girls Revolt is one you might want to check out, the pilot. It's really kind of a more of a feminist take on Mad Men and just sort of sexism in the 60s and 70s, especially in the journalism field.
Did you say it was called Girls Gone Wild?
Good Girls Revolt.
Oh, okay.
But they've also launched, by the time this podcast goes up, Red Oaks, which was a pilot from last year. The whole season's up. It's very funny. I highly recommend it. And The Man in the High Castle, November 20th, it dropped all of their episodes. Highly recommend it. And then the other thing I finally caught up on this week was season 2 of Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, it is everything True Detective season 2 wasn't.
Absolutely.
It is something that is just as funny and dark and tense, and it expands the world.
It's wonderful just to look at.
Yeah, and it's creative. The casting is spot on. I highly recommend it. It's on FX, Fargo season 2.
Yeah, I've got it all DVR'd. I've not seen it yet, but everything points to it being fantastic.
It is unbelievable.
All right, it's no secret that I don't find most comedies, television comedies, funny. I think most of the, you know, network comedies are I could watch an entire 30 minutes of it and not laugh once. So I've been looking for the next great comedy, like The Arrested Development or Seinfeld or, you know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, something like that. And I think I found it.
You found it.
It's on a very obscure, at least to me, network called Pivot. I don't even know what it's about. Mm-hmm. But the show is called Please Like Me. And it's an Australian sitcom that is almost indescribable. It's not absurd. It's just like nothing I've ever seen before. Oh. And I laugh the entire episode. So
wow.
I don't want to give too much away, but it's about this guy who is a young adult guy who's got a crazy mom and a crazy family, but he's also got like, he's coming out during the episode because he's sort of figuring himself out, but he's also got these friends that are kooky, and it's just, the humor is so different than anything I've ever seen on it. It's, I think I found my show. So I'm going to recommend Please Like. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Shrink Tank Podcast. We hope you'll check out shrinktank.com for great articles and videos. And we hope you'll follow us on Twitter @shrink_tank and like us on Facebook. I'm Dave Verhagen in Nashville. Tell all your friends about us and have a great week. Shrink Tank.com.